children look up to me. Yeah, children are stupid.
And yet I hate them.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week it's chimichangas and Hello Kitty because we're talking about the Deadpool movie. It's rated R, as are we, so buckle up. Spoilers ahead.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Shoopay doop.
And Molly Glover.
X gonna give it to you. Oh, he gonna give it to you.
And we are here to talk to you about Deadpool.
Deadpool!
Now, we're gonna be talking about the movie, obviously, so...
Like all of it. All 9 inches of Ryan Reynolds in that movie.
Here's our traditional spoiler warning to you. If you haven't seen the Deadpool movie yet, we're gonna talk a lot about it in fairly great detail, but at the same time, I think that due to the fourth wall breaking nature of Deadpool, and also... if you're familiar with the character at all from the comics and you saw any of the many trailers for it, I don't think that what we're going to talk about would ruin your experience.
I think it will. There are definitely spoilers that I am a very anti-spoiler person, as you know, and from my anti-spoiler standpoint, I say, just turn it off and come back to this one. Just come back, listen to this one when you've seen the movie.
Right.
Just do yourself the favor of seeing Deadpool for the first time, having none of it spoiled.
But in all fairness, you're geeks, this movie's been out for 2 weeks, and you've probably seen it at least twice. So
yeah.
This movie...
X has probably given it to you.
At this point, I'm sure Agent X has given it to you. And that is one thing I want to talk about. Right away in for the movie is the Easter eggs were incredibly deep pulls in the movie. There are references to the other X-Men movies, to the franchise as a whole. There are so many hidden names and stuff relating to the comics, which were great.
There's at least 2 Rob Liefeld references that I saw, like, over...
He was in the bar.
Oh, I didn't realize that the guy was in the bar.
He walks by him in the very beginning. He's like, "Hey, Rob, that's Rob Liefeld."
I knew that. So in the opening credits is amazing because of the
God's just perfect
the
idiot,
no names, and the slow pullback through a very complicated violent scene. There was a Rob Liefeld ID, I think, or something, or a comic, or there's some kind of thing there. Just so many great.
It really immerses you in the idea of the film from those opening credits. It's really well done.
In the comics, Deadpool is a guy who gets... he's a mercenary assassin of Canadian origin. He is diagnosed with cancer and is going to die, and he goes through the Weapon Program.
Weapon X, right?
It's the Weapon Program. Weapon X is a specific... program
like Wolverine and X-23.
It's actually an offshoot of the Super Soldier program that Erskine developed for Steve Rogers' Captain America.
Which they couldn't talk about because this is a 20th Century Fox picture in conjunction with Marvel.
Deadpool undergoes this treatment and is left immortal, yet
Not invulnerable.
His cancer balances out the hyperactive healing factor and strikes this perfect balance that also leaves him insane.
Yeah. Isn't it that if his cancer were cured, he would die because of his accelerated healing factor would tear apart his body?
Yeah. That's
so the cancer is actually what's keeping him alive right now.
Yeah, it's
symbiotic.
It's neat.
Yeah.
And they are really close to true in that in the movie.
Yeah, I haven't read a ton of Deadpool comics. He shows up in a lot of different things and I've read a few. But mostly what I loved was that they stayed very true to the spirit of the character.
Yeah.
Much like I felt about the first Captain America movie where people were like, "But this was like almost like, oh my God, like goody-goody propaganda." It's like,
that's Captain America.
Like you should feel a little bit sickened, like, because it's almost just too perfect, because he's a little too perfect. Deadpool, you know, breaking the fourth wall, making references to studios, and one of my favorite lines ever is when he's asking about the X-Men mansion and saying like, Dr. X in there? Oh, is it James McAvoy or is it Patrick Stewart? I can never decide which one I like better as you're like dragging him away. Yeah. And That's very funny.
Tim, did you have a favorite, like, fourth wall breaking moment or Ralph Renshaw?
Oh, golly. That's a tricky question. I thought that I don't remember any specific moment that I was like, oh, this is the best fourth wall breaking moment. I don't know. I think the moment that I liked that was kind of very Deadpool to me is when he's like telling the taxi driver, you know, out loud the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, don't kill him. You got to let him out of the trunk. Kill him.
Kill him now. Show him your dominance.
It was such a small little thing, but my favorite little Easter egg spoilery bit was towards the end of the movie. And he's showing up at what is clearly a S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier, though they couldn't say as much because S.H.I.E.L.D. is tied to the Marvel properties, the you know, Disney Marvel movies, and fighting this big battle on the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier. And there's all these armed soldiers with guns that show up, and he's killing them through them, and he recognizes one of them, and he's like, oh, hey, Bob, how's it going? And he has a conversation with Bob.
Because they were in Special Forces together.
Right. Now, Deadpool has a sidekick in many of the comics who is Hydra Bob. Bob, Agent of Hydra, is how it's... He had his own little comic for a little while. He's Deadpool's sidekick here and there. He's a guy... He's a little bit of a paunchy comedic relief sidekick guy. He's an agent of Hydra who is sometimes undercover and sometimes not, who is Deadpool's sidekick. Much in the same way that Weasel and Blind Al are also have been Deadpool sidekicks, but they couldn't say Hydra. Again, that's tied to Marvel. It's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But just for him to be like, oh, hey, Bob, a henchman guy named Bob, and then shoot the shit about how they worked together in the past and then let him live. I just absolutely loved that bit.
There is one moment that someone pointed this out on Facebook, and if it was you, please say, but was that they wished that this had been a line, because I think this would have been perfect, I agree, is when they go to the strip club because they're looking for Deadpool's girlfriend, fiance, and they go into a strip club, and Weasel says, it's Weasel is his friend, right? And Weasel, and Weasel says to him,
TJ,
whatever, he's and he goes, how do you know she's here? And Deadpool just goes, she's here, but it would have been a lot funnier if he had said, well, because Stan Lee's working here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that would have been a very funny, like, how do you know she's here? Well, Stan Lee works here. Like, Stan, this is obviously the
DJ at the strip club. Yeah. It's his cameo. Yeah.
So this is obviously the one where she'll be, because this is the one Stan Lee works at.
Plot convenience.
I just think that would have been a very funny.
That would have been a good line.
Yeah,
they,
it's good.
They had the Deadpool toy from the shitty X-Men Origins movie where they had his mouth stitched shut and he had the forearm blades and all that crap. They showed the toy.
Francis says that too. Should I stitch your mouth shut?
Yep.
And he's like, well, I don't think that would be all that good for the plot or something like that. Like, it's...
there's another reference to that, the movie. Or no, a couple Green Lantern references. Like, whatever you do, don't make my super soak green. Or animated. And then in one of the big action scenes, a Green Lantern, like, foil trading card flips out of his wallet.
I liked the Ryan Reynolds reference.
Yeah.
They show him on the Sexiest Man Alive.
Yes.
The people's Sexiest Man Alive. There's a lot of, he was really into Hugh Jackman. There was like, Deadpool was, had a, there were a lot of Hugh Jackman references.
He's,
did you guys see the interview Ryan Reynolds did with Hugh Jackman for Eddie the Eagle?
Yeah.
It was really. That's great.
We got to look that up.
Here's a really nice guy. He's smooth. He's a hairy guy, but smooth down under. In the Hugh Jackman mask, too. Yeah, there are a lot of Hugh Jackman references without him having a cameo.
Also, and, you know, we've talked about sex positivity a lot on this podcast. This was a very sex positive movie.
Oh, it was.
And like, there was a fucking montage, basically.
Yeah, it was fucking montage.
I'm not going to say sex, because they were just fucking straight up.
Yeah.
And it was great, because they made jokes about holidays. They showed all sorts. They showed him going down on her pegging him, like them, the food play.
For Lent, them sitting in the chairs together reading.
Yeah.
Like, happy Lent. Oh, you too. Like, just very,
it was, It was really great. And yeah. as Kirsten Wade and David Traylor have said, International Women's Day is forever changed.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Never going to be able to hear those three words again without laughing.
yeah, well.
You know, when they got to, so there's a lot of superhero movies, there was post-credit stuff and then post-credit mm-hmm. stuff. And I didn't realize how spot on the Ferris Bueller-y part was. But Molly, you...
So right away...
Have a Ferris Bueller thing.
So I love the movie Ferris Bueller.
As soon as they showed the shot, I knew what they were doing.
I love that movie. I have seen that movie, I'm going to say, easily probably like 60 to 70 times.
It's a great movie.
I can... there's a few movies that are up there for me like that. Mean Girls is another one. Drop Dead Gorgeous. But like, my brother and I watched this one a lot. So as soon as they showed the establishing shot, I just like... The theater's pretty quiet and I just go... Like just hooting, like
a donkey
bray. And Nick's like, what? I'm like, meh. And then he comes out and he's with the shower cap and the whole goddamn thing.
And you point out the wallpaper, the pattern place. On the
it was the same. It was everything was the same.
Every little detail was the same.
Yep. It was really great. It was really great. People, and I saw a great Reddit thread about Deadpool where someone was like, maybe it was Facebook, was like, did you stay through the credits? And someone was like, I don't know why you would have stayed through the credits. The movie was over. You should have gone home. Which is very funny. And someone was like, yeah, were you still there? And like, it was very, we saw some people get up and leave. And every time I'm in a nerd movie and that happens, I just want to be like, what are you doing?
It's an extra 5 minutes. Stick around. There's probably a good reason to do it.
Comfortable seat. Like, it's not...
Did you guys have any favorite moments in the show or the movie, regardless of... how about action scenes? There's, like, two or three really prominent ones. Did you have any favorite, like, badass...
Ooh.
So, moments of extreme violence.
I love Marina Baccarin, whatever. I've loved her since Firefly and mm-hmm. everything I've seen her in. So she, because you know, you can tell that she is like super pissed that she has to be this damsel.
Yeah.
That she's just like, gah. And so when the katana goes through the hyperbaric chamber thing that she's in, and then she grabs the blade with her hands and is going, and like pulling it out, you know, to get herself free. That's what I thought that was one of the more badass moments, because all the other fighting, Deadpool, you know, the character, Wade Wilson, was in special services, special forces, all that stuff. So like
X-Force.
Yes, that's cool. And he'd been tortured. And so he was used to that. But this, like, that's not her. Like, just the fact that to me, that was the more badass moment, was that she grabbed the blade and didn't wait for someone to come save her. And was just like, fuck this. Like, I'm getting
the fuck out of here.
Getting out of this goddamn thing. Like,
so she uses it to, like, cut her wrist free.
She cuts
first,
her wrist free.
Then,
she holds the blade. She's bleeding. She kicks it open. It's great.
Well, it sets her character up as an equal to his. You understand why they love each other.
And you knew that earlier.
You did.
I feel like you knew that when she pegged him.
Sure. I mean, I feel like you know that when he's...
The story.
They're flirting with each other in the very beginning of their romantic plot arc, when very quickly it becomes a contest to you know, who had the most fucked up childhood exaggerated
story. As
he's
buying her services as a prostitute, by the way, too.
Which he uses to play skee-ball.
I
know, I'm sure everyone sees stuff and it reminds them of their own situation and they you know, relate to it personally, but I really feel like, Molly, our married couple banter sometimes is just a series of very escalating, inappropriate comments along those lines.
Yes.
And I know for a fact that sometimes we make friends uncomfortable.
Yes,
or they might even think we're fighting, but that's just like one of the ways we show affection for each other. And that reminded me of that
in
the movie, especially at the end when they went back to it again as kind of a making up.
I think, you know, probably my favorite action sequence in the movie is when he's counting down the bullets.
That was
just
great.
Because it's a nice Deadpool moment in that you're doing that fourth wall breaking by having like the numbers on the shells.
Yeah.
And
when he shoots like three into the dude, and he's like, duh, that was stupid. That was stupid. Like, he's just but he was just like, couldn't help it. He's like, no, fuck this guy in particular.
Yeah.
The action was amazing. And we'd already seen it. The first thing I ever saw from this movie, which at the time I didn't even know was actually...
The leaked.
It was leaked footage that they then tried to spin as this isn't real. This is a fan test footage or something, which now we know is in the movie. But at the time, I was like, please let this be real. Is the whole him drawing the picture of Francis singing
listening Shoop, to bananas.
Listening to Shoop with his...
It's bananas. It's Gwen Stefani at that point. Yeah.
In the test footage, it was B-A-N-A, but he's kicking his feet and he's just like,
have you seen this man?
And just drops down and does all that
stuff. Time to make the donuts.
It was, but even when the humor was overplayed or immature, a little more immature than my tastes, for example, the red shirt, brown pants joke is so overplayed for me that I'm like, every time he was like, brown pants, I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
But again, still perfectly Deadpool. Mm-hmm. Because there are parts in Deadpool comics where I'm like, oh my God. Like, because that's what he does, you know, and mm-hmm. that's part of why he's obnoxious.
Yeah. He's like Spider-Man. He's a talker during fights. He's an insulter. He's doing that thing to throw enemies off their game and... sometimes his peers or allies off their game. Everyone's annoyed. Yeah. Everyone's annoyed by Deadpool.
Colossus was...
I didn't like Colossus. I mean, if you're gonna give me one thing I didn't care for with the film, and it was mostly... I mean, is this a new thing for the... So I haven't read X-Men comics in a while. Is Colossus, like, always Iron Skin now?
No.
That was the thing. It's like, why don't you show him, you know... going into the Iron Skin mutant mode. Because why would he be sitting there eating breakfast Iron Skin?
It was weird that Angel Dust, like I said, as soon as we left, like the only thing I didn't like was, so Angel Dust has unrupturable organs and unbreakable bones and unbreakable skin, because like she was getting hit with 500 pounds of metal with mutant strength behind it, and I know she's strong too, but like she didn't even, like, her lips didn't bleed, her nose didn't bleed.
She had generic superhuman invulnerability
that
powers.
Was a little frustrating.
Yeah, so the Angel Dust character was a combination of three different characters initially. Well into the filming of Deadpool, they had to cut $7 million from the budget.
Whoa!
They cut a motorcycle chase scene between Deadpool and Francis. They cut... another whole fight scene was cut, and then several characters were combined down into just Angel Duster... Negasonic Teenage Warhead was originally...
She was amazing.
She was originally Cannonball, which makes perfect sense if you see the powers and what she's doing.
Yeah.
She has Cannonball's power set, but they were looking through lists and names of mutants, and they got to Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and the quote from Deadpool is literally what the writers said when they got to the name, which was, Negasonic, what? That's awesome! Like, and so that they changed the character's name to that, and which is great, because the original Negasonic Teenage Warhead is a character that would not be fun or interesting in a humor action movie. She is a future-seeing psychic mutant. She looks like someone that you'd see at maybe a Cure concert, or someone doing some Sandman Neil Gaiman cosplay.
Yeah.
She has that gothy nature to her.
Yeah, it's more 80s-ish, because it's Grant Morrison? Yeah, Grant Morrison, I think, created the character with his artist, whose name escapes me at the moment. And she also was in Joss Whedon's Astonishing, and then she was brought back to life in the Necrotia series. And we're never going to see a Joss Whedon Astonishing movie. We're never going to get Grant Morrison's New Mutants, and we're never going to get a Necrotia movie, thank God, for the last one, because the Necrotia story is terrible.
It's horrifyingly bad.
They were never going to put Negasonic Teenage Warhead in a movie in any recognizable sense, so I have no problem with them repurposing it for basically a new character.
I was trying to find...
She was a really fun character.
She was.
I was trying to find this
boy,
meme.
Boy, you got me in a box.
This meme is so great that has a bottle of... There's a lot of Ajax Francis stuff going around, but what I recently saw was a bottle of Ajax on a shelf in a store, and the store tag, like some store employee has changed it so that it says Francis Dish Detergent. and then, like, in small letters above it, it's been changed to What's My Name? And
nice.
It's very good.
My favorite moment with that is just after he kills all those guys and he uses their body.
Don't worry, I'll spell it out for you.
Yeah.
Just the like
the guy whose head is cut off is the dot of the eye in yeah. Francis even. Yeah, like,
yeah. It was very when he just the whole like I'm gonna make just the whole every time the Ajax Francis character was like, I'm gonna get that smile off your face, I'm gonna make you stop laughing, all I could think was like, oh god. So yeah, this is where he's I don't want to say schizophrenic, but it is kind of like, it's very close to schizophrenia.
In the comic,
he has multiple voices in his head that speak in different drawn fonts and in different colored text boxes.
Yes.
And sometimes they fight with each other while he's trying to do something. And he'll even say like, look, shut up, everybody. I need to kill this guy.
He's said to other characters, like, you guys don't have those little boxes above your head that say different things to you.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. They've actually been addressing that in the comic now recently. I'm not reading Deadpool currently, but I'm on a lot of comic subreddits and stuff. Yeah. And so he's had the white boxes, the yellow boxes, and a dead agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. possessing him. So at one point, he actually had three different voices unique from his talking to him. It has recently been shown that the yellow boxes are another Marvel comic book character, Madcap, who is a kind of a Deadpool ripoff character, which is ironic. And Madcap is in Deadpool now, or something along those lines. That might not be exactly true, but
I liked someone I saw was saying it would be cool if what they did was they for the next movie if they because now that he's a little more crazy you know if they showed if they had him arguing with subtitles because that would be a way to put that into film
as
if the subtitles say like he's totally crazy isn't he and he's like I'm not crazy what are you talking about and then another subtitle says is he actually reading these he shouldn't be reading these like I can see them why wouldn't I read them like don't argue with this dude you're Deadpool I know who I am who are you like don't worry about
else is aware
of them. Yeah.
I think even yellow text boxes would be great.
Now, in the movie, I mean, you talk about the character in the comics having brain cancer, but in the movie, I don't think it was brain cancer.
It's everywhere cancer. Yeah. He says lungs, liver, pancreas at one point.
I think he, because it's, and the fact, when he said pancreas, I kind of went, because
pancreas you don't come back from.
It's terribly fast. It's fast.
So, I'm going to say one thing I appreciate about this movie because, I mean, it's one of the things that's just sort of a standard with superhero movies is they hire famous actors to play these roles, and then when they get to the final battle, the last thing they want to do is have that person's face behind a mask.
Right.
So they'll always have an excuse for the mask to come off.
Yeah.
They did this in Spider-Man, and that kind of pissed me off because Spider-Man should be fucking Spider-Man, not Tobey Maguire.
Not Tobey Maguire being carried like Jesus on the backs of the people he saved.
It doesn't matter for like X-Men, because X-Men don't have secret identities.
Right.
And it doesn't matter for most of the MCU, because they're really not going the traditional secret identity route for most of the heroes.
Yeah. But the nice thing that they did is with Deadpool, they left the mask on. I mean, there was and part of that is you've got Ryan Reynolds, who's got, you know, the makeup anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was really smart that they did that entire final battle scene with the mask on, and they did tons of stuff with Deadpool with the mask on. He almost never
took the whole movie except for the moody hoodie in the rain scenes.
And even when she takes it off, he still has another mask underneath.
I know.
A very tongue-in-cheek point about what you're talking about, how at some point they take off the mask and you see the guy, but like very much tongue-in-cheek was this whole momentous moment of her pulling off the mask and then there's a Hugh Jackman face.
Also, I think
it was very like, fuck this.
A little sad and vulnerable too. I mean, really, he's sensitive about it.
I very much love, because they kept her, they could have very easily made her character suddenly stupid at the end, but rather than her suddenly be different at the fact that first she's pissed that he's alive
and didn't tell her
and it's not like this like how could you crying it's like hitting him and you know fuck you fuck you get the fuck away from
me.
You shouldn't have been able to make that decision for me.
She's
saying,
and then so when she finally sees the face, whereas normally the line would have been this is a face I could learn to love or something like that, instead she says, well, after a few drinks, this is a face I could see myself sitting on, which is amazing. It's like, I guess I could let you give me head. Yeah, all right. I could, you know, and
yeah.
which is like just so perfect for their relationship. It's just, it's everything that they always were.
And then
it's mean and clever.
They go right back into that and forth.
Like, where have you been? Yeah. Like, oh, I was living in a crack house. Oh, so you have a house? Yeah. It was, it's really great.
I think that, obviously, it's not a movie for everyone if you're sensitive to violence, if you're squicked out by sex.
If you don't like juvenile humor.
If you don't like juvenile humor.
If you're not a fan of the F word.
If you're offended by swearing. Someone counted.
Oh, I don't.
I didn't catch the number. Somebody counted F-bombs.
There was a...
it's fair to say, more F-bombs in this movie than there are in every other comic book movie ever produced. I'm talking about including rated R.
Yeah.
Comic book.
Yeah, both of them, The Crow and Judge Dredd.
Yeah, there's a couple of memes going around where women have said, I will not be letting my children see Deadpool until, you know, hashtag 20th Century Fox takes the sex scenes out of Deadpool. It's like... So you're cool with them seeing the violence? The violence you're fine with, but the like 2 minutes of sex stuff, that's the problem?
Know. To me, the response is, good, they didn't make it for your kids
anyway.
No, it's
not for your fucking kids.
Yeah. Holy fuck,
that's some entitlement.
These memes also say superheroes are for children.
No, they're not.
Which
fuck
is,
you fuckers.
Oh boy, yeah, that is a whole thing.
Historically untrue, even. I mean, superheroes come from pulp.
They were actually for people with low literacy levels. It was for people who had low literacy levels and could...
It comes from pulps. Yep. It comes from, like, you know... Detective films, The Shadow.
The comics were for anyone to read. That's the whole point.
It's super privileged in the idea that superheroes are for anybody. Superheroes are for whoever the fuck likes superheroes.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that means that you can make a superhero film for adults. Yeah.
So one thing we want to touch on before we go to five questions. In the Ferris Bueller end tease, he talks about Deadpool 2. And the sequel that they're writing and they're working on, and Cable, who is... This is complicated. Cable is the hypothetical future child of Scott Summers, Cyclops, and a clone of Jean Grey, who is actually maybe the real Jean Grey or not, depending on which timelines you ignore. And so in this future where mutant kind is punished... Cable travels back in time to prevent that all from happening, and
mutant kind is turned into very. It's a very Jewish concentration camp thing. Yes. They get branded. Rounded up.
His powers are psychic in origin, but you wouldn't know that from reading his action scenes and stuff. He's a big, muscly guy with a metal arm, kind of like drawn very similar to how Colossus's organic steel gets drawn.
Yeah.
Usually. And he has the one glowing scarred eye, and he has pouches and pockets everywhere because he's, you know, that Liefeld
era. His thighs are massive.
Of comics. Yeah, inhuman physical proportions.
Liefeld thighs that have, like, four quadriceps.
Right.
Like each
his
leg has
muscles
extra...
on muscles with no feet.
Yeah.
And so... He said you're going to do Cable, which means time travel, which means teleportation maybe, which means an unlikely partnership, buddy, comedy, action movie duo. I'm thinking like a Deadpool movie does Pineapple Express.
That would be great.
Because there are 9 trades of Cable and Deadpool comic.
Yeah.
I've got them all at home if you want to catch up on them sometime. But it is... goofy and violent and perfect for a sequel. And there's going to be a whole lot of plot convenient, like, who the fuck cares? It's time travel. It doesn't make any sense in the first place stuff. And I think Deadpool is the perfect place to do that because it obviously didn't work in Days of Future Past. But anyway.
Yeah.
Enough of my opinions. we broke our rule, Molly.
What?
We are no seeing comic book movies on opening weekend that aren't Marvel movies that are Marvel properties.
We said that we would only break that rule if the movie was clearly amazing, and we knew Deadpool was going to be amazing.
And we did.
And the only reason Deadpool is into Marvel movies is because of their stupid fights that they have with the mutants and everything. But with this, I honestly think that they've really made it so that 20th Century Fox can retain rights to mutants and stuff if they can keep this going, because this movie smashed box office records.
I'm looking forward to some more rated R superhero movies.
But I mean, opinions on Days of Future Past aside, that movie was successful.
Yeah. Financially successful.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And not even financially. I mean, critically, most...
Well, They have one more X-Men movie with Hugh Jackman and one more Wolverine movie with Hugh Jackman. And
then
he's
done.
Which,
the dude's 50. So, Wolverine's not supposed to age.
The dude's 50, and he can deadlift over 1,000 pounds.
Wolverine's not supposed to age until Old Man Logan.
Yeah, right. So, please tell us what you thought about Deadpool. And
let us know if X
has
given it to you, or if he's going to give it to you.
Question, did X give it to you? Which is, Deadpool.
Knock, knock.
Deadpool alias. Agent X.
X literally gave it to you.
Yeah.
It's true.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, brother, want to thank your mother for a butt like that.
It's spandex. Yeah. Right up Main Street. Molly, who are our answers from?
Our answers are from Mariano Dominguez. And he has a little bit he said earlier here. He says, hello, guys. I work in the software industry in the U.S. since 7 years ago. When I lived in Mexico, I did not have too many problems with the 90% Catholic people thanks to Mexico's decent church-state separation. Hmm. However, private organizations are pretty discriminative if you are not part of their circle. But since I'm not asking anyone for favors, it did not affect me. The peer pressure from religious people when I got to Arizona got me into looking for atheist groups. I did not want to get isolated from events and looked like fair game to churches because I was the newcomer. Your show got me great moments when I used to commute and travel a lot. Hmm. Okay, here are the answers to questions.
Yay. Excellent.
Question number one, what movie will you stop and watch anytime it's on, or do you like dial up on Netflix when you really want to watch a movie or what?
Pardon me, he answered our old five questions.
Oh, shit.
I didn't realize that until just now.
Flashback.
Hold on, here we go.
What is the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Snowpiercer. Watched on Netflix, and I loved all the twists. I'd say I liked The Martian, but it was only because of the book. I feel the movie stripped down all the geekness.
Interesting. So I haven't seen the movie yet, but the audiobook is fucking hilarious.
And I'm reading the book right now, not listening.
I have a Snowpiercer story that I cannot tell you until April, so just keep that in mind.
All right.
Interesting.
So anyway, Very exciting.
Question number two. Who is your favorite atheist character?
Mr. Big from Sex and the City. We have two things in common. Smiley face.
Ha, I get it.
Just kidding. Hypatia's version of M.N. Barzagora. Her answer to You Believe in Nothing is great. That's the movie Jay gave us to watch, so we'll have to have a movie night soon.
Oh, we have that.
We gotta watch that movie. Okay, question number three. What is your geekiest hobby?
Games in which you have to code. Ruby Warrior, Code Wars, Robocode, and Lego Mindstorms. I'm yet to build something cool enough, but it is more for learning.
Sure.
There was some RPG that I kickstarted that might be out now that was...
You coded it?
You go into the game's code and you can, like, code your way around barriers in the game.
Oh, that's cool.
You can hack enemies and make them friendly and change flags on them and stuff, but you have to do a little bit of actual programming to do it. I should check into that
because
it looks fun. Question number four of the old questions. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite sandwich?
The Counter Custom Burgers. You fill out a form with all combinations. Usually, I get a 1/3 pound medium rare beef or bison, alfalfa sprouts, tomato, lettuce, Gouda cheese, grilled onions, a grilled pineapple slice with habanero sauce, and all on a Hawaiian bun. Mm. That sounds good.
That does sound really good.
That sounds super good.
I'd hit that. Wait, that's... Anyway.
No, that's acceptable.
You would hit it so hard.
So, okay, question number five. What is the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism?
Aside of, quote, you believe in nothing, that I get a lot, a high school friend who is now very Catholic told me that atheism does not exist because we all believe in other fantasies, the invisible hand of the market, auras, horoscopes, etc.
We all do.
Right? That's why it's the stupidest. And then he says, hear you later. Thank you, Mariano. Excellent.
Thank you so much.
It's so dumb.
That was interesting.
I haven't
thought about our old questions in a while. It was fun to have a flashback.
It is a fun flashback.
Old question flashback.
Flashback. All right. So we have something fun coming up, you guys. As you know, our 200th episode is just around the corner. We're going to do a live show recording at the Bryant Lake Bowl on April 16th at 10 p.m. Our guests are scheduled to be Barb Abney, local radio host and star. And Jeremy Messersmith.
What?
Who is an amazing musician. He has some super
songwriter,
geeky music. Yeah. He's kind of a do-it-himself music guy, like pulling himself up by his own bootstraps kind of.
Yeah, he's awesome. He does self-produces.
Yeah.
Really, he's just a great
geeky,
guy.
Geeky, eclectic. The Graveyard song is so fucking cool. Or album. But So we'll be there recording. We have some other special guests and surprises in store. Tickets are super cheap if you can make it, and you can buy them in advance and save some money. $8 at the door, $6 in advance. If you buy them over the phone from the BLB, there's no, not even like a brown paper ticket service charge or whatever, like there can be online, which is still cheap. Otherwise, I think if you have a convergence badge or a fringe button, there's
It's six bucks at the door.
Yeah, so there's no reason not to come unless you're not local, in which case you'll get to hear it later.
But it's on a Saturday night, so if you're not local, you could do a long weekend and
come up,
we'll hang out with you, and I won't have a beer with you. But my,
I won't have a beer either, but I will have lots of booze.
Yeah, I'll have a cider there. So
Nick's could drive.
That'll be April 16th, a week before Molly's birthday.
Oh. No, 10 days. Yeah. 10 days, but that's close.
3 days before our anniversary.
Yep, 3 days before our anniversary.
And so we hope to see you there for our 200th episode. It's crazy.
It's going to be amazing.
There's going to be guests. There's going to be special announcements. Yeah. It's going to be insane.
It's going to be super
fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yay!
Otherwise, if we can't see you there, you'll hear us online at Geeks Without God, on iTunes, on Stitcher.
Stitcher!
Now as well.
Give us ratings.
We don't have any ratings, but if subscribe to us there. Apparently, if we get enough subscribers on Stitcher, we start to get money from them.
What? Hey,
which is kind of cool.
Why, I like money.
Money's good for things.
We could use the money to do all sorts of technologically advanced stuff.
That's true.
Stuff.
Money can be exchanged for goods and services.
When did that happen?
I know.
Peanuts. All right. And we've been Geeks Without God. Chimichangas.
Chimichangas.
Chimichangas. See you next Tuesday.
It means cunt. I love Deadshot.
Nope.
Deathstroke.
Close.
Deadpool?
Yep.
Yay.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks,
we're geeks,
we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
geeks without God.
Part of me thinks this episode should be called Happy International Women's Day.